Welcome, everybody. Happy Friday. You're listening to the Business Week in Review. Glad you could join us. We're just a couple of minutes late with the president's address. Always a full show, but I want to introduce some people in the studio with me here. First, Joe Perino, Vice President of T5 Data Center. Did I say that right?
You got it. Okay. Thank you. Thank you,
Joe. We're going to talk about some physical security and some of the tidbits that I've got this morning. And also, Jim Bierce. Did I say that right? Because I screwed it up the other day when I did the teaser.
Perfect, Jeff. Perfect. Good morning.
He is a technical consultant. We can't say who, but one of the big retailers. How's that? Does that work?
That's perfect.
Well, let's get started with a couple of cyber bites first. And this kind of leads into the discussion then about physical security and protection of data. And that's what we're going to be talking about. And this applies to all businesses. As I always say, whether you're a company of one or 1,000, we're going to talk a little bit about that. First off, well, it was Valentine's Day yesterday. Hope everybody had a good time. If you happen to have the OkCupid app on your Android, you probably want to get some updates or deal with that. There's been a major breach in that, and malware was injected into it, which would download contact information and all sorts of things. So you Android users, you want to be careful if you're in that dating app, that's an issue. Also, the one I talked about earlier this morning, and this applies to all smartphones, some of the travel sites, and this one was specific, Air Canada, Hollister, Expedia, Singapore, I think Hotels.com, and there's a number of other ones, have been caught this week where it is recording your screen and sessions when it's one of the travel sites. If you're making reservations, it's recording those screens and sending it off because they want to see what your experience is like. They can make changes. Well, they don't disclose that. Jim made the comment in the prep meeting. He said, well, that was probably buried in page 70 of the 75 user license agreement.
Exactly. Who reads them all?
Yeah, who reads it? But the issue comes in, they didn't disclose it unless it is in there somewhere. They didn't get permission from the carriers. Apple has issued a cease and desist letter against this, but it goes back to the other issues again. You have to be careful with what you're doing online. You're not clicking on stuff. You have to be wary. I say you don't want to be paranoid, but you have to be wary about what you're doing online. That's a big thing. The other big one, and this kind of leads into the data side of things, is VF email. If you happen to use this group, and this is a big email service provider, a different kind of attack occurred this week. They've been ransomware attacks in the past. They want monetary payment for return of information, things like that. But in this case, it was purely malicious. The attack caused what we call a catastrophic loss. They basically erased, or what we call format, where you completely clean the disks of data, operating systems, virtual machines, everything. They absolutely flushed that entire company. I don't know, and that included the backups. So there was no data left. I don't know how you stay in business very long with that one. That's a hard call. So we'll have some more information on that, but that was the big one this week. So the takeaway for our listeners is if you're going to have backups, separate that. You know, we're going to talk about air gap in a little while, but have some backups offline, for smaller businesses or where you can put that data on a separate disk or a flash drive or something. Keep several copies of that. Put one of them in your safe deposit box, something like that. Because if you wipe out your backups that happen to be on the same network, that'll end your business in a hurry. And Jim is grinning. He goes, yeah, that's... So those are the takeaways today on the cyber side. We're going to get to the business in a minute. Both Jim and Joe are part of an organization called 7x24. And when we come back in just a minute, we're going to talk about that. And that's basically protection of information in the cloud-based services or co-locations if businesses have rented space. and how do they keep those up? So stay with us. We're going to be right back. It's 9:15 on Friday morning. You're listening to the Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. TJ's working on that. No, I'm not Renee Roberts. You're listening to the Business Week in Review. I want to bring Jim Perino into this discussion. He's with the 7x24 Exchange, and this is the organization that basically works on reliability of data centers, best practices, both physical and some of them. We're going to talk about some of the security, but welcome, Joe. Glad you could join us this morning.
Morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Tell us first about this event that's coming up. You were inviting people to come to this from a security perspective. Give us the details.
We've got an event next Thursday, February 21st, beginning at 11 a.m. We have a Rocky Mountain chapter of the 7x24 Exchange. 7x24 Exchange is an international group of which there are about 28 or 29 chapters across the U.S. We are the Rocky Mountain chapter. So we're bringing in an engineer from NASA to talk about, he worked on the space shuttle, the loss of Space Shuttle Columbia that occurred back in 2003, about 16 years ago. He's one of the leading engineers in NASA, and he's going to talk about the loss of the vehicle, the root cause, and some of this does relate to security as well, the organizational causes, some of the human error that happens when you're operating these complex machines. Cybersecurity is a complex system
And as we were talking about in the prep meeting, it tends to always be a human-caused issue.
Yes.
I think 100% of the time it's a human-caused issue.
Yeah, we talk about, you know, phishing emails, but anyway, it's part of that.
Going back to the program next week, we are going to be at the Spring Hill Suites on Auraria campus, and we are he's going to give us about a 40 to 45 minute talk, and then we're going to follow that up with a panel discussion talking about the fallacies of the human.
Human fallacies of me is a pretty long list.
Yes, all of us.
Is it open to the public? How do you register for it? Give us the details there.
You just search 7x24exchange.org. Click on the state of Colorado. You'll find our chapter. It's called the Rocky Mountain Chapter. You can sign up from there. Very easy.
And lunch is served with it, part of the registration fee?
Sit-down lunch is served. And if you're a non-member, non-sponsor, it's $60 to attend. Students and end users, data center end users, and sponsors are no charge.
Okay.
Yeah, just to touch on that note that Joe just mentioned, not just for data center operators, but we also welcome students who have the interest in the data center industry. Students can attend this conference for free. We definitely welcome STEM students. We have a little bit of a shortage in our industry for people up and coming, so students are absolutely welcome, free attendance.
That's a great idea because it gives them a little bit different perspective other than in the classroom. You can actually go out and talk to people that are in the industry, what's going on, what the needs are, as I always look for, and how to get at it. So that's a great idea. Give us the contact information again.
That's 7x24exchange.org, and then you can just search for Rocky Mountain Chapter from there.
Outstanding. So should be a great lunch. Jim's got a good point. Get the students up there, give them a little, you know, outside the classroom, give them a little background.
Yeah, a lot of young men, young women in STEM, they don't even know that our industry exists.
Yeah, well, and
a lot of talent coming up that we're missing out on, and we just like to get the word out to the students.
And people talk about, well, it's in the cloud. Well, they don't know what the cloud is. Well, you run the cloud. You know, it's a data center. It's a huge building that's full of thousands of computers. It's a good learning experience.
Each and every one of us are walking around with a portion of that cloud in our pocket today.
Yeah, that's so true. And it's keeping a very close eye on us, unfortunately. And it kind of gets us into the security, and it's both physical and, I say, electrical side of that, the cyber side of it. You know, And physical is just as important as anything. You know, we were talking about, like, the T5. You mentioned that there's five layers of physical security to get into these places because you're housing a lot of sensitive information, and you just don't want anybody running around loose in the place. Talk about, you know, some of that layer.
Some of the physical security that we implement to protect our data. Like you just mentioned, the five layers, you could have a guard at a guard shack, the entry control point, the security lobby, identification checks are done at those points. A specific badge can be issued for the specific area that you have permissions to be in. That specific badge would get you through the next couple of layers, through your third and fourth layer, and then to get to the actual data floor, or if you're in a co-location, could be to your cage. You could even have a fifth and sixth layer there. Some of those physical securities, like I mentioned, are the identification check, PIN number, biometrics, retina, all those types of physical security layers are in place.
Well, and these are good takeaways for our listeners. So any business that's looking to store information in cloud services or in what we call co-location, where your servers are in a shared area, those are things that you want to look at from a contract perspective. How do they protect your data? What is access? Because if they happen to lose it, they're going to go, oops, too bad. You really have to vet that.
That's a great point. Anytime that you are shopping for a service provider, you want to understand what they're going to guarantee in your service level agreement. Are you going to have access to the logs for people who are accessing the floor, for people who are accessing your specific area, your cage, whether that cage is two or three racks, or a whole floor. You want to know not only who your employees or associates are that are accessing that through that physical security, but take a look at the provider's support, and you want to be able to know who is coming from their team into your cage area.
It's a very good point. You know, and it goes back to this VF email situation. You have to know what the backups are, where the backups are, and, you know, did they have them off-site rather than just everything gets erased. That's scary stuff.
Yeah, you know, part of your physical security that you may want to look at for backups and where your applications are stored at, do you want to have a geographical separation?
Exactly.
Do you want to have a physical separation inside of that same physical building? Do you want to have geographical separation from coast to coast? But take a look at that physical protection also.
Good points. Well, when we come back, we're going to get into some of the project side on how to protect data. So stay with us. You're listening to the Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio. It is 27 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Business Week in Review, as Alan says. We appreciate that. And TJ, I'm standing here and we're having a discussion with Joe Perino and Jim Bierce about security and data centers and things that businesses need to be looking at. Before we went to the break, we were talking about some of those practices, looking at your contracts, how to protect your information if you decide to put that in the cloud or in storage as a data center. Let's finish that discussion up. Jim was talking about some of the efforts you need to do in security. You mentioned during the break air gapping, and what do you do with disgruntled employees? Give us a little bit of background on air gap first to educate our listeners.
So something that we see common and popular in the industry is to air gap your building management system.
So you're talking about air conditioning and things like that.
Exactly. Your controls and a few different approaches can be used. But to build a independent network that does not touch the outside world or does not touch your corporate core network.
Keep it off the business side.
Those systems.
Yeah, and that's really important. And it goes back to the target discussion of a few years ago where the HVAC company was actually the cause at the entry point, and it was on the main network. Well, that'd give the criminals access to the main servers, that's where they got all of the credit card information. And it's really important to separate that.
Exactly. Any system like that that you can separate is a good measure to take. Another air gap type of measurement with your building management systems is any of your vendor support, supplier support that's coming in that needs to perhaps do a firmware upgrade, is have them physically scrub that flash drive in a standalone machine, scan it for viruses before it goes into your building management systems and networks.
And you never know. And the example here a few years ago was the Stuxnet virus that they got into Iran to attack the their weapons program. That's how they got it into the facility, was on a thumb drive that they didn't scan first. They just drop them around. I'll give everybody the hint. When we do cyber audits, that's one of the first things. You scatter a few USB drives around, and it's just human nature. They have to plug it in and see what's on it.
See what's on there.
It's funny, you know, 10 to 15 years ago, as we started using laptops and bringing them home, and my wife is she's a retired special agent from the Department of the Treasury, and their laptops had no CD-ROMs. We don't put CD-ROMs on them anymore. No CD-ROMs, no flash drives, no nothing. When she brought that laptop home, she could not connect to our home network. She had to operate that as a standalone.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she went back to the office, then she could sync all of her data with their system. So that was a good practice 10, 15 years ago.
Still is today.
And it's been more widely adapted today, but not fully.
So, yeah. Joe, what are some recommendations when a vendor supplier brings a laptop into your facility or into a facility?
And this could be even a business, somebody coming in. Not so much the data center, but all the way around.
They've got to follow our cybersecurity policies. They've got to, they cannot, as you said, Jim, they cannot be on the corporate network. They've got to be on a separate subnet. If they're going to be looking at the, and Jim mentioned it earlier, the mechanical building management systems or the electrical building management systems, then that's got to be on a separate VPN network, or, you know, if they're going to look remotely. They cannot plug into the corporate network, and that may have been what happened to Target.
Yeah, more than likely. You know, and this, we're talking about data centers here, but this also applies to the home users. And we've been talking about, you know, the Alexis and all these cameras and things like that, telephone, VoIP telephones. You want to keep them on a separate portion of your network, even at home, so if you do have a breach, it can't get to your computers. There's ways to do that. What we call a subnet, it's a way to electrically divide your network, even though it's physically the same, but you want to keep them on separate. And then, like you say, Joe, you keep that off of the main portion of the network for when things are hacked.
And change the password on your router.
Great point, Joe.
Say that again.
Change that password. It's not hard.
Yeah, that's critical. We see, you know, so many times where people buy a piece of hardware, be it a business or home, they plug it into the network and away it go. And, you know, the default passwords never get changed. So one more time, you be the good adult.
Well, change the password, and let's take it a step further. And, you know, what happened to Equifax is the patching. They weren't running their patches. Guess what? When we buy a smart TV, we get a notification to run a patch, and we oftentimes do not understand what that patch is doing. We don't see any new features, but a lot of times it's security.
It is a security patch.
Joe, let's take that a step further into facilities. A lot of the manufacturers, air conditioning equipment, switchgear equipment, that all comes with just the default password. Is that also a password that you need to really consider changing in your facilities?
We do, yes. And it's easy to be overlooked because of the volume of the equipment that's out there. There's a lot of equipment out there.
So you really need a strong password strategy across the entire facility, all of the machines, everywhere. You're right. You know, even the air conditioning systems, even the thermostats today have passwords on them. Don't leave them as a default.
No, never.
So
we all know the default passwords.
That's true. And then how does it, you know, we talk about changing passwords, What do you do then as you change employees, or if you come across a disgruntled employee, if you're starting to get indications that there may be an issue here? That carries into the password side of things and accounts. Joe's grinning from ear to ear right now. It's like,
well, my email address at bellsouth.net that was discontinued about 15 years ago will probably now be discontinued, but I still have an email from the old Bell South.
They didn't scrub your account.
They didn't scrub the account. So there's so many users out there. You've got to scrub that old data.
Yeah.
You know, anytime that an employee or associate leaves your organization, whether it's a heated disgruntled situation, Jeff, or if a person is just moving up, you need to remove their credentials immediately. Not the next day. You need to remove them those minutes that person is leaving your organization.
Yeah, it needs to occur right away. We've seen this, I don't know how many times, where, you know, somebody is terminated and they leave the account open and then they have a way to get back in. That's the worst possible thing, because now they have a reason to do damage to your business.
Right, that could leave you wide open.
You don't want to go down that path. You have enough cyber issues these days anyway.
So we have something called a standard operating procedure. That's called an SOP. Those apply to those situations, Jim, where you have a standard operating procedure for offloading a former employee.
That's a great point, Joe, is you should think about that in advance and how you're going to do it and have that written down and have those steps done so that you don't have to. If it is a unpleasant situation, that eliminates emotions perhaps, and so you have your SOP right in front of you and how to remove that person's credentials.
It absolutely has to be a part of your standard policies, you know, as you say, the SOPs, but any strategy, and that's part of the, you know, some of these new Colorado laws, is you have to have procedures in place to protect your data. But this is also a big part of that, is if you have an employee leave, whether it's on good terms or a disgruntled one, you have to have that.
Yeah, whether it is electronic protection or physical protection or associate protection, all of those are important measures that you need to have in place.
Well, that's a good takeaway. Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking about schedules and don't short-circuit the schedule and pressures on that. And Joe's going to talk about that in a little more depth, but you're listening to the Business Week in Review. It is 9:46. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. Well, welcome back. Great discussion about protection of information with a little bit different slant than what we normally talk about. More of the physical side. What do you need to be looking at? And Joe has brought up an interesting point about schedule pressures and when you're making changes and how does that impact things. You had a great point, Joe. Talk a little more about that.
We all have to get the work done. We've all got a schedule that we've got to adhere to. In the cloud and in the data center industry, we get what's called change windows for getting work completed.
To do two updates, patches, things like that?
Updates, patches, work on equipment. Sometimes we have to take equipment down totally. Companies, understandably, want to keep these change windows as narrow as possible.
Sure, they want to maintain business.
They got to maintain business. And a lot of that leads to schedule pressure. Schedule pressure leads to errors. You're going fast. You're going faster than you need to be going. You're trying to follow a method of procedure, what we call a MOP, and you're trying to follow a logical and orderly process to make that repair, then bring the system back up safely, make sure that it's operating properly, and then put it back online. That can lead to trouble. Across industries, it does not matter. It's not just the data center and the cloud industry, but it also happens. Well, let's talk about NASA. NASA was trying to put those shuttles up more often than the design allowed for. There was a design deficiency in the shuttle as well. We're going to talk about that next week at our 7x24 Exchange Rocky Mountain Chapter meeting. But we see it across industries.
So. Well, and you can see it on all businesses, you know, whether you're a two-person company or more. If you're needing to do changes, make sure your support group has got that process in place. Have that checklist.
Jeff, I don't think that there is a difference between a two-person company or 2 million
Thank you.
Person company.
I'm always on my horse about that.
you know, those changes are important to every business, no matter the size of it. So, Joe, what are some of the things that we can do to train and mitigate against schedule pressures? Perhaps practice a mop, tabletop exercises.
Walkthroughs are great, Jim. You know, we got to vet these mops out, make sure they're correct in the first place. It takes 5 to 6 iterations of going through a method of procedure before you really understand and are comfortable with these procedures. The other thing is making sure that we feel comfortable and that the organization allows us to voice up when they're trying to force us to do something that is unreasonable.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. You know, so I've seen the industry change a little bit with one thing that I had considered a little unreasonable, and every business case is a little bit different. But we used to perform some of these procedures and these change windows in the middle of the night on a Saturday. I've seen the industry starting to swing and change a little bit so that these change windows are starting to open during normal business hours, and that allows us to have people available just in case something does go south.
Yeah, and I always say nothing is ever easy. And, you know, if something goes haywire, you want all the troops on the deck.
Midnight on a Saturday for a global industry is beginning, you know, Monday morning, the start of business, you know, halfway across the world.
Yes.
So it can have an impact no matter.
Yeah, yes, very absolutely. Good point. Well, as we start to wrap up, Joe, give us the contact information. You guys had a great point to get the students involved and give them some hands-on discussion, so to speak. Give us the information about
free lunch for
and free lunch for the students.
Did Joe bring that up yet?
Free sit-down lunch. Yeah, this event, again, is at the Spring Hill Suites next Thursday, February 21st. We're going to be gathering at 11 a.m. The program's really going to start about 11:30. We should be wrapping up about 1:30, but this is right on the Auraria campus, and we want to get these STEM students. Jim mentioned STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. We want to get these kids aware of this industry. As many industries are having trouble staffing positions, these are great jobs.
Yeah, they're great jobs, yeah.
And we not only get the students aware, a lot of times the faculty aren't aware. We're a new industry. We've only been around 15, 20 years. So creating the awareness is part of it.
That's a great point. Well, gentlemen, it was a pleasure to have you on the program this morning. It's gone by in a blur. We need to talk more about it. But thank you for joining us. You've been listening to the Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio. Tom Martino's up next. We'll talk with you next week.